about it from Bob Holness and Douglas Cameron. Yes, we're finishing early this morning because there's an LBC special after the 9 o'clock news on the great Paris air race and car race and, in fact, motorcycle race, depending how you went. My thanks, and Dougie's too, to production team Mike Stewart and Laurie Douglas, and to studio engineer Heather Phipps, who's with us for the last time today. Good luck, Heather. Thank you for being with us. We'll be back at the usual time tomorrow morning on AM. Have a good day.
On the hour from LBC, home of independent radio news. This is LBC 97.3 FM, where news comes first.
Presenting the great Parisian LBC race. Welcome to Paris on Easter Monday 1974. This is John Forrest reporting from the Scrive Hotel in Paris, just next door to one of France's greatest buildings, the Opera. Well, this hotel is the rendezvous point for the great Parisian LBC race, and as I speak to you, right at this moment, a couple of score of LBC reporters are hurtling their way over to join us. And that's all part of the race. It's a great race, and over the next hour, I hope we can convey some of the excitement over to you. Well, that excitement really began some time ago, in fact, in the early hours of this morning. Let me take you back just for a moment to those early hours and some of those exciting moments. And now, by the magical, miracle means of radio, here I am back in Gough Square, and it's, well, it should be 5:15, but it's just gone 5:20, actually, in the morning. And there's a lot of sleepy-looking people all around me. LBC has never seen quite so many people this time in the morning all around the office. And our first team is about to set out. They're going stylishly in a Hertz Volkswagen camper. John Hughes is the driver. John, what do you reckon your chances are of winning this race?
Pretty good.
Well, we'll wait and see. And Janet Walsh, the captain. Just tell me who your team are, Janet.
Ian Gilchrist in the newsroom, Christina in engineering, and Alan Marion Davis, the LBC doctor, so right. If you break down, we're all right.
And you're intending to stop for a snack on the way, John?
That's the idea, yes.
Well, we'll see if that holds you up or not. Well, I'll hold you up any longer. Barry Baum from the Paris Travel Service, our official adjudicators today. If you'd like to blow the official whistle, and then you're off, so it's up to you. And they're off. The first crowd are off in their Hertz camper. And what a crowd they look. They've got cooking stoves and goodness knows what. And after that whistle, we'll probably have the police round here too, I should think. So it really is a party in Gough Square, even if it is very early in the morning. There they go. Off they go. Now they're going to be sailing over the channel. They're making their way to Dover now. They're due there at 7:15 to check in, and they'll be sailing on the 10 to 8 ferry on SeaLink, and they'll be going over from Dover to Calais, and we'll see what time they arrive in Paris. And then we move to the second person to go today, John Linley. John, how are you intending to get to Paris?
Harley Davidson FXT Superglide 1250cc. I'm praying. Thank you very much for that. I'm praying for fine weather. If we get wet roads, it could be very tricky.
It's a dirty great hunk of machinery. Have you driven one of these before?
Yes, I in fact own a Harley Davidson. But the problem with this is the passenger. The passenger has a very hard ride.
That's your
my navigator
back here. Telly, are you looking forward to the trip?
Not on the back, but I'm going to drive some of the way as well.
Well, the best of luck too, my goodness. How are you getting over the channel, John?
We're going on the Hoverloid hovercraft from Ramsgate. We've got to check in at 7:30 and then catch the 8:30 flight.
Right then. Okay, and the Paris Travel Service, an official starting time, Mr. Brown?
Should be 5:30, about 5:32, I think, by the time he gets this machine started up.
All right, I think we're ready now then, John, if you'd like to start up and ask Dan Welbeck.
Whistle.
with a great roar like that, he's off to Paris.
Now, here's a way to wake up early in the morning. Nice bottle of champagne from Charles at the Three Tons, our friend the LBC local. And you always serve champagne at the time of the morning, Charles?
Not very often, I don't think you can. In fact, I'm going to go back.
And we're off to Paris in true style. And I notice Rocard is the first in with his cup.
It's an early morning. It's an early morning. Lovely, right.
Now the time's moved up to just after 6 o'clock and I'm in the AM studio.
Well, no, we've got a rather unusual studio here this morning in the AM studio. I came in last Friday, sort of wandering in on the programme willy-nilly to find the studio full of daffodils, and now this morning it's full of peculiar gentlemen in berets and striped jerseys. Today apparently is the day for the Great Parisian LBC race. I don't know if Douglas knows anything about it. It's not the title of a new 20s-style movie, but a breath of spring blowing through LBC following on those daffodils. About 30 of our reporters are dashing off to Paris, it seems, and back for the day today. They're travelling by almost every conceivable means. Our first intrepid crowd set off at 5:15 this morning in a Hertz Volkswagen camper to get to Dover at the SeaLink depot by 7:15, and later on people will be zooming across the channel in private planes, scheduled flights, in hovercrafts and boats, and half an hour ago one man left on a Harley Davidson FXE 1250 Superglide motorbike, complete with pillion. Well, we're about to launch our next teams right away from the AM studio. They've all come in here. The official adjudicators from the Paris Travel Service are here to wave the starting flag. So two teams, captained by Adrian Love and LBC's motorsport man, Peter Bryant. Adrian, you tell us, how are they going?
Well, my team, hence the snappy dressing with the three-piece suit, you notice that? Yeah. And we got a slight edge because, A, we are travelling by chauffeur-driven Rolls-Royce.
Of course.
Courtesy of the worthies of Fitzwilliam Motor Car. Plus, we're the only team with pit mechanics. We're also lubricated by the Three Tons, hence the champagne and Guinness breakfast all round.
I wondered how the champagne... Dougie, that's yours, apparently.
Oh, how kind.
We decided we needed all the help we could get.
Now, we're off down to Dover, then we get on the Thompson-Torrington ferry across to Calais, and then boot down the Route National 1. Our handicap time, according to the Paris Travel Service, we should check in about 3:15. Mm. I think they've misjudged us a little.
I don't think your chances, Peter.
Well, quite good on two counts, really, because I think we've got a nice nippy car. It's only a small car, but it's fairly quick. Also, we've probably got a far more economical car than Adrian's car, so I think we'll win on terms of economy, and we've got a chance of winning in terms of time as well.
The time now is 7:22. Let's check on the travel from Johnny Drake at Scotland Yard.
Still no major hold-ups to report. The road conditions are dry this morning and driving conditions good. Johnny Drake, LBC, Scotland Yard.
Well, I'm glad of that because today is the day of the great Parisian LBC race. Next off is Hugh Williams. Hugh, very quick word before you go off. How are you travelling?
Well, I'm travelling down in my own car to Lydd in Kent, and from there I'm taking the BP Eagle Adventure Sports Centre plane to Paris. And hope to be there around about 12 o'clock today.
Your prospects, do you think you'll win?
Well, it's too difficult to say. I wouldn't like to put a bet on it.
Right, well, I know you're going to be off imminently. In fact, right now. So, Hugh, get ready, please. Listen for the whistle, and off you go on the whistle. Whistle after 1, 2, 3. There he goes. What an inspiring sight. He's flashed past Bob Holmes, knocking the scripts all over the place. So, Bob, compose yourself and on with the show.
It's all off the top of the head anyway.
Bob Holness and Dougie Cameron's back in the LBC studio doing a bit of sour graping, I think, since they weren't allowed to join this great Parisian LBC race. Well, that was the scene in London earlier today as people were leaving to get over here. There were more people setting out as well, of course. Team 2, which is captained by Phil Bryce, set off about half an hour late, and they set off at 6:15. They're travelling in a Ford Consul GT via the SeaLink ferry of the Dover to Dunkirk route, and they're due at the Scribe Hotel at about 4 o'clock this afternoon. And there's some more people flying. Phil Jay and Di Latham are coming on a scheduled British Airways from Heathrow at 10 o'clock, and Tony Fox is going the posh way in an Executive Express aircraft from Gatwick, where he's due to take off from there about 10:30. The railway is represented by a team with Peter Vandenberg on the Golden Arrow. They're due to arrive at 5:30 this evening. And the last to arrive will be Dougie Moffat. I'm not sure how he's coming. We'll have to find out when he arrives.
But the first team to actually arrive, and they arrived even before I did, I might say, was the Chrysler rally car, chauffeured or driven or whatever the term is, by Peter Bryant. Peter, congratulations on being the first to arrive.
Great journey, really enjoyed it.
We don't know if you've won yet, because it's a very complicated handicap system and we have to work out the score.
I think we ought to have won, because we've arrived here first, even before you. But it was very good, I enjoyed it.
Well, welcome to Paris. Anyway, I know that while you're coming over, as with all our reporters, you're doing a report from the trip, or you have done a report on the trip. And this is a bit embarrassing, because since you arrived before I did, we're going to have to go back into your report of when you were coming over.
Okay, well, we did a report, and you'll hear it in a few seconds, but we came across by the hovercraft, did a report with the captain on the deck, enjoyed that, and also a report coming down the motorway.
You were on the Hover Lloyd hovercraft, weren't you?
That's right.
Right, okay, well, I should have said, let's go and find out how Peter Bryant is getting here, but in fact, I've got to say, let's go and find out how Peter Bryant got here.
This is Peter Bryant, travelling in the Great Parisian LBC race in a Chrysler Avenger, and at the moment, about to board the Hover Lloyd ferry. We left London at approximately 6:30. We have arrived down here, it's now just gone 7:30, and we're waiting to board the ferry to go to Calais.
The sound of the Hover Lloyd hovercraft taking off now from Pegwall Bay near Ramsgate, moving down the slipway into the sea. Well, we're up here now on the, what do you call it, the flight deck?
Flight deck, yes.
Flight deck of this hovercraft, out in the middle of the channel. It was a bit bumpy getting up here. The sea is just a little choppy, and we've got this very narrow ladder. I must admit, it was a bit nasty at times. And anyway, you've got Ted with us. Ted, how long does the hovercraft take to cross the channel, all in all?
Well, on average, in average weather conditions, about 40 minutes. Today we should be just about bang on time, 8:40 at Calais.
About how rough does the sea have to get before you have to suspend operations?
Well, we operate up to and including Force 8, and from then on, we play it very much by ear, but usually when we get to the top of Force 8, we cease operations.
Yeah. Is the weather today fairly average, or is it rough?
These are average channel conditions, yes. The wind is from the west-northwest at about 18 to 20 knots, and we've got a 3-4 foot sea and swell, something like that.
What sort of speed are we doing at the moment?
About 45 knots. We usually aim for this speed to make a 40-minute crossing.
The Hover Lloyd terminal is at Pegwall Bay. Is this for any specific reason?
Well, we do have very good facilities there. We're not tied up with the conventional ferries in any way, and we therefore have a very fast and convenient service for the passengers, based really on an airport style of operation.
You noticed it was a very quick loading up this
morning. Yes.
And at the other end, do you just drive off, or do you have to turn around?
No, it's straight off and away. You'll probably be away in Calais within 5 minutes.
3 hours later, in Paris.
I am a genuine French.
Huh? It's not me French. It's the Arab.
This is Peter Bryant en route to Paris.
Well, that's how Peter Bryant got here, and he, as I say, he arrived before us at the Scribe Hotel.
A holiday in Ireland can do unbelievable things for you. I'm Terry Mancini, and a couple of years ago I spent a fortnight's holiday in Cork, and now I'm an Irish international footballer. Seriously though, Ryan's arranged fantastic holidays in the west of Ireland. You fly direct Heathrow to Shannon, you get a self-drive car, and the choice of hotels or even farmhouses. Get the Ryan's brochure. Phone 01-499-4845. That's 499-4845. And who knows, you could end up playing football for Ireland too.
LBC headlines the news.
At 9:21, heavy fighting is reported in both South Vietnam and Cambodia as the communists advance further towards the two capitals. There's now fighting on the outskirts of the Cambodian capital of Phnom Penh. And the refugee problem in South Vietnam is getting worse, with at least 1 million homeless trying to flee from Da Nang. The Viet Cong have warned ships of all nations not to attempt to evacuate refugees from the city. American police have charged a 40-year-old man with the murder of 11 members of his family, including 8 children. The victims were found dead in their home at Hamilton, Ohio, after an Easter family reunion. And here at home, over 450 fishing boats are blockading the eastern coasts of both England and Scotland. Already, one German ship has been turned back by the Scottish trawlermen.
This is LBC 97.3 FM, where news comes first.
We're actually, dare I say it, in the bar of the Scribe Hotel, and quite a lot of reporters have now arrived, and we'll be talking to them in a few moments. It's a lovely hotel, and we're sitting in the bar, as I say, and with me at the moment is the sous-directeur, that's Francis D'Argeville. Francis, first of all, thank you very much indeed for your hospitality.
Oh, you're welcome. You're always welcome in Paris and in the Scribe, you know.
And French are well known for their hospitality. Now, tell me just a little bit about the hotel, if you will. Do you have many English people staying here throughout the year?
Yes, of course we have. It depends on the period of the season of the year, but we all the year we have English people, you know, of course, and we must say too that we are an English company, you know. Its name is Grand Metropolitan Hotel, with the headquarters in Stafford Place in London. And
do you think there's I mean, you're not English, you're French, obviously.
Yes, I am.
Is there something singles an Englishman out, that is different about an Englishman? Is there anything that makes him different to a Frenchman from the hotelier's point of view?
Not really. I think English are very attached to their comfort and to the French style too, and as we are in an old-fashioned hotel with an old reputation, you know, I think most of the English people appreciate it.
English people love Paris in the spring. Yeah. Do Parisians love Paris in the spring?
Yes, of course, but well, this year the spring is, spring is just beginning now, but it's not so nice as we would like.
It's when the sun comes out.
Yeah, yes, well, just now the sun is quite quite good, but a few days ago, well, the weather was not so
right.
Good.
Yeah. Well, Francis, thank you very much for talking to us.
You're
once
welcome.
Again, thank you for your hospitality.
Very sorry again for my English accent, you know.
I think it's brilliant, particularly considering you've never been to Britain. Well, Francis is the sous-directeur, or directeur. I've got to brush up my French. We've got a game to play, actually, that teaches you to speak French. But as we were talking then, another team arrived. Now, it was Janet Walsh's team, which is team number 3, and they were travelling in the Hertz camper. Let me tell you what time they started out this morning, if I can look on my little list. They started out at 23 minutes past 5, and Janet Walsh, the captain here, what sort of journey have you had, Janet?
Oh, a very good one. A bit slow, but otherwise.
One of our team had a bit of a problem on the ferry. Their ferry was cancelled, and they had to get a hovercraft when it came to it.
Oh, we had a smashing ferry. Oh, you should have seen the captain.
Super. Oh, dear me. You were going to stop, weren't you, in the Hertz and make yourself a cup of coffee or something?
Oh, we did. In fact, we bought some frog's legs before we came over in a Chinese restaurant. We warmed them up.
My goodness me.
Believe that if you will, it's true.
You're still alive. Now, you've recorded something for us on the way, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, a masterpiece.
Let's go over and hear your report now.
Well, this is Ian Gilchrist & Co, and we're travelling in the Great Parisian LBC race in a brand new Hertz camper. It's only got 50 miles on the clock, and at the moment it's 6 o'clock in the morning and we've just lost our way. Well, we shouldn't have listened to Mike Smith in the 261 helicopter. We've decided that we're the most talented team in the race. Our driver John is a kung fu expert, so we're all keeping out of his way. And his co-driver Ian plays a guitar, but he's forgotten to bring it with him. And our ace cook Christina is about to warm up some frog's legs. And Dr. Alan Marion Davis, who's LBC's resident hypochondriac, is on hand with a cure, just in case.
Stand by 4 and a half. Stand by 4 and a half.
Well, as you can hear, we've made it, and we're now on the bridge of the Sealink cross-channel ferry. And with me is Second Officer Frank Quick. Why is Sealink the best way of crossing the channel?
Well, to begin with, we probably operate a greater fleet than any other cross-channel operator, and we do provide a fast regular service between the UK and the near continent. And also, of course, we cater for all kinds of passengers, regardless of whether you have taken your car with you, your caravan, or whether you're just coming on foot.
How many times have you made this journey yourself?
Well, personally, I've been across here about 300 times.
Well, there's one last question. As this is a race, and see who can get there first, is there any way of making the boat go any faster?
Well, I think this morning everything actually has been in your favour, because the ship's been running at maximum speed. We've also had a following wind, and we've also had a following tide.
That's all, Captain. Make the speed to their vehicles now. Thank you.
Well, we're back in the van now, we're nearly at Paris, it's starting to rain. John Hughes, you've been driving us most of the way, and you're the operations manager for Hertz. How have you enjoyed this trip?
It's been very good, especially when Christine cooked up that breakfast. Everything, of course, was there, fully equipped, and she's a very good cook on top of it. I think we've had a great time.
The frog's legs you're talking about?
Yes, they were very tasty, weren't they?
Well, in fact, I can see the Eiffel Tower in the distance now, just looming up. So, this is Ian Gilchrist & Co, just entering Paris.
Well, one person we've been referring to throughout the programme, and will continue to do so, is Wendy, who is our fabulously efficient lady from the Paris Travel Service. Now, Wendy, just tell me first of all, what is the Paris Travel Service? You keep referring to it.
Well, it's an English travel agency. We're the travel agency that specialises in holidays in Paris. In fact, we carry the largest number of tourists over to Paris in the world.
And what's your job then?
I'm a hostess or a representative, however you'd like to put it. I look after all the tourists that come over here with our service to Paris. We look after them whilst they're here, we get them into hotels, and whilst they're in the hotels, sell them excursions and any problems or any questions they have, we look after them whilst they're here.
So you're an English person living here in
living
Paris?
Living here in Paris, yes.
How do you find that?
I love it. Yes, I wouldn't leave Paris for a moment yet anyway.
What's different about it?
Well, there's a completely different way of life here in Paris. The French themselves have a different attitude to life. I find it very easygoing and it fits my taste, so I'm happy to stay here for a while anyway.
Now, Wendy, later on you're going to be having to decide the result of this fantastic race. Can you possibly explain the scoring system to me in any way?
Well, it's all very complicated, and I'm glad I didn't decide it, or I certainly wouldn't be able to explain it perhaps as easily as I can do. It just seems to be on a point system. People have a handicap, that is, an allotted time to get here, and when they arrive, they clock in with me, and I have a point system as to how many minutes over or under that allotted time schedule they get here.
Wendy, I know you're meeting people as they come in, so I won't disturb you from that
Fine.
Any longer.
Okay, thank you.
I'll let you on with that very important job. Now, in the meantime, let's find out another reporter who's on his way here, Tony Fox, and let's find out how he got here.
This is Tony Fox travelling on the Great Parisian LBC race in Navajo Chieftain Executive, which in fact is owned by Executive Express. Now, Executive Express is a charter firm affiliated to the Bronze Record Company, which is the company that records such artists as Gene Pitney, Uriah Heep, Manfred Mann, and even Ossie Bisa.
Every Doctor Who pack of Weetabix.
Doctor Who! The Daleks! Monsters! Robots!
Collect 24 terrific stand-up figures and 6 action settings. Free with Doctor Who packs of Weetabix. The Time Traveler's Breakfast. For the Doctor Who packs of Weetabix.
Try a taste of martini. The most beautiful drink in the world is the bright one, the right one, it's martini.
The World's Most Wonderful Drink invites you to enter the World's Most Wonderful Competition, the Martini Wonderful World Competition. First prize is a magnificent Piper Warrior 4-seater private plane. Second prize, a sensational Mambo Power Cruiser. Third prize, a little runabout Lamborghini Uraco. There are many more fabulous prizes, including Cunard holidays to the Caribbean. So collect your Wonderful World entry leaflet now at your off-license or wherever you buy your martini.
In the right taste, the bright taste of the right one. That's martini.
Safeguard
your 1975 holiday by booking with American Express. American Express travel agents can offer you holidays to any country in the world. Holidays with style. American Express style. And these are the holidays you can rely on in 1975, because American Express are one of the world's largest travel organizations. Safeguard your holiday. Book with American Express. Travel agents with a worldwide reputation. Brompton Road, Mount Street, Cannon Street, and Haymarket.
Well, it's quite a nice place, actually, considering the state of the town.
The Manhattan Bar cocktails our speciality. Well, is it right?
Why not?
Evening, sir, madam.
Good evening. Punchy mace on the rocks with a slice of orange for both of us.
Certainly, sir.
I was beginning to get a bit worried.
Worried? Why?
Well... sorry, sir, no oranges. Shall I make you two stingers?
No, just give us punchy mace with ice and lemonade. You were rather late.
Yes, well, I came up by train.
Oh. Well, anyway, it's great to see you. I thought we'd
Sorry, sir, there's no lemonade. How about a nice Harvey Wallbanger?
No, we'll have punchy mace with tonic.
Tonic's off.
Ginger ale.
We're expecting some tomorrow.
Soda?
No.
Ice.
Melted, madam.
You haven't any punchy mace, have you?
Oh, of course, sir.
In fact, you've never even heard of it, right?
Well, I make a delicious whiskey sour.
I'll bet you do.
As yet, few places outside London have beautifully bittersweet punty mace.
Would you like some potato crisps?
Welcome back to Paris and the Scribe Hotel and this fabulous Great Parisian LBC race. Lots of people to talk to, lots of people now arriving at the hotel, and the scene is very much bubbling. Tony Fox, I see, has arrived now, and he's wending his way over here. Tony, tell me how you got on.
Well, we had tremendous fun and came over by...
This is Adrian Love, travelling on the Great Parisian LBC race in, at the moment, the Townsend Torres and Car ferry from Dover. We motored down from the LBC studios at Fleet Street in a Rolls-Royce, very suave, provided very kindly by the worthies of Fitzwilliams, the self-drive Rolls hire people. We've had a look round the boat, which seems like fun. This is one of the smaller boats, but it's still got all the required facilities. Canteen, restaurant, where we've just had a particularly pleasant breakfast. Duty-free shop, where I must admit we've invested in the odd cigarette and the odd bottle of booze. And now, in about 15 minutes, we'll be landing at Calais. And then it's auto route 1 straight down to Paris. And hopefully, we should get in maybe 100 points ahead? We'll have to find out. Through the wonders of electric wireless, hopefully I'll continue this report somewhere down French auto route number 1. We'll see if it works, as I say. But we're...
Nice little bit of overcast but sunshine going on.
The Paris and back is eventful. We left LBC at around 6:25 a.m. and arrived in Dover at around 9 to catch the Sea Link on Kirk. But unfortunately, due to some industrial action, the ferry wasn't running. Unfortunately, we were penalized a little later when it came to figuring out the points basis. We pleaded that we couldn't do anything about it, the fact that we had to catch the hovercraft instead of the ferry, but still, they didn't seem to take that into account. One of the people who was with me on the journey, there and back, was Peter Farrow, who also did some of the driving. Perhaps you can tell me about the Ford Console that we travelled in and what your impressions of the car were, Peter.
Yeah, well, we borrowed a Console G.
Customs check. We were a little worried, perhaps, that we'd exceeded the continental speed limits. Overall, a very enjoyable trip to Paris and back, and the London to Paris race for LBC.
Team number 4, well, that's the motorbike team, and John Lindley is busy zooming his way over to Paris on his Harley Davidson, doing, I don't know what he's doing. Let's find out.
Hello. This is John Lindley. Outside Beauvais, on the way to Paris, on the Route Nationale 1. My goodness, we had a very good run down, an hour and a quarter from Gough Square, LBC, down to the ferry. Very smooth crossing, only 3/4 of an hour on the hovercraft, the Hoverloid hovercraft. Then we've been making magnificent time since then. We've been averaging about 90 miles an hour on the straights. The trouble is we didn't come down the auto route, lost the map. So I had to come down the Route N1, which is through the little villages. However, the main roads are fine so far, fairly clear. And apart from the occasional lorry and the brows of the hills, which are a little bit puzzling, we've been doing very well. I'm hoping to keep up an average speed somewhere in excess of 50-60 miles an hour to Paris, which means we should get there in around about 6 or 7 hours. Okay, I must be off now. John Lindley on the way to Paris, over and out.
Well, Dennis Rocard's been described and called by various people as the roadblock, LBC's roadblock. He's not blocking the road today, he's in a car. And let's find out what's happening to Dennis.
And this is Dennis Rocard reporting from mid-channel on board the British Railways hovercraft Princess Anne. Well, on our part of the trip down across to Paris, we've had a very pleasant trip. We started out in the Henley's XJ6 Jaguar, a very pleasant ride down to Dover, taking no more than 1 hour. And we've come out on the very first hovercraft of the day. Aileen Hart, perhaps you could tell me how much would it cost a family of four and a large car like ours to travel across on a hovercraft?
Well, we do very competitive prices on the hovercraft. For instance, a five-day excursion for a family would only cost £10 each per person, or for a child between the age of 4 to 14, only £5 per child. And then we have the 36 to 48 hour car excursions. They are very good as well. And the for a driver or one adult, it is £5 per head, and plus a payment of between £7 to £9 for an average sized car.
Helen, thank you very much. One thing I will say about a hovercraft is it's an extremely bumpy way of crossing the channel, but a tremendously exciting way to travel on this all British invention. But once we get to the other side, it'll be Cali, it'll be all down to a very easy, comfortable ride. If you're travelling this way across the channel, it's a cheap way of doing it. You get there with a maximum amount of speed, and indeed, certainly with a maximum amount of comfort. When you consider that the crossing time on a hovercraft is only 35 minutes, as opposed to 1 hour 40 if you go by conventional sailing boat. From mid-channel, this is Dennis Rocard reporting.
Now then, time for another report, I think, and someone who's busy zooming their way over to this hotel this afternoon, and let's find out where Gordon Edge is.
This is Peter Vandenberg, travelling on the Great Parisian LBC race. We're going on British Rail, Scenic and French Railways. And we're just starting off at 10:05. With me, I've got my team captain, Gordon Edge. This is a bit of a joke, as I am his only team. We're going to be the last group to arrive in Paris, and we've got the slowest mode of transport. But, despite this, the race organiser, John Forrest, better known to a lot of people as Mr. Nasty, has already tried to sabotage our plans by giving us the wrong time for the train. Anyway, we're off en route, and our first stop will be at Folkestone. It's now 2:15, and Gordon and I are halfway across the channel. Yes, Gordon, my team captain, is still with me.
Hello.
Despite already having had a row about passports and money, this is because I, his team and slave, wanted some sort of independence, especially on discovering there is a large bar aboard this boat. Gordon confiscated both my passport and money, so it looks as though I'm going to have to do some work. We left Folkestone at 12:30, and despite the hundreds of noisy school children which you can hear behind me, and the sick Gordon, we're running just about right on time.
This is Gordon Edge, and time is just after 3:00. Myself and my team have just pulled out of Calais station. We delayed for about half an hour at Calais railway station after going through customs yet once more. But we are now speeding on the last leg of our journey from Calais to Paris. The weather has improved considerably since we got about 5 miles out of Folkestone harbour, and this seems to have calmed more rebellious members of my team. We're sitting here on the train, sampling some of the superb French wines, and have noticed the fact that it's after 3:00, yet no licensing hours. This is Gordon Edge with Peter Vandenberg en route to Paris.
Now I think we'll take off into the air and find out another report from someone who's zooming their way over to the hotel.
Let's go and greet Hugh Williams.
It's 7:30, the place, LBC. Now Sarah Ball and myself are just about to get in my car to drive down to Lydd Airport in Kent. We're to take the BP Eagle Adventure Sports Centre aeroplane, and that'll take us to Paris. Well, we hope to be at Lydd by about 10 o'clock, and in Paris by midday. However, whether we'll win is just anyone's guess. Well, we've just arrived at Lydd Airport on a very cold, windswept day. It's a desolate spot not far from the coast in Dungeness. We've just met up with the pilot, a Mr. Julian Soddy, and he's introduced us to the plane, a small four-seater Roban 100. Sarah's just told me she thinks the plane's a bit too small, but it looks all right to me. It's been a fairly good trip down from London. It's now 9:30, so we've made better time than I thought. Everything's gone very smoothly, apart from getting lost in Maidstone of all places. We lost about 15 minutes there, but we made it up on the way down. We're just about to board the plane now and squeeze inside, and we'll be taking off in a few minutes.
10:30 now, and at last we're in the air. Customs and so on has held us up rather badly.
LBC 97.3 FM, where news comes first.
This is love in London.
I wonder where the piano was. Thank you. Good evening. Welcome to the first Love in London. My thanks to Dickie Alberto for the news. On the prog today, we're going to be talking about dirty movies and having a quiet gloat about who won the Paris from London race. But we won't go into that too much, except that I did, with a little help from my friends, and some of those are here. Later, we're going to be opening the phone line so you can join in the program, which runs from now until 1 a.m. It's funny, there's really people up at this time of day. It's amazing.
Such a mouth.
Corrupt old master. He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman.
John Jack.
That's Black Moses, Isaac Hayes, who you may have seen on the television yesterday with the Osmonds. Talk about from the sublime to the ridiculous. That's the theme from the first of a series of amazing movies. The first was the best. That's the theme from Shaft. It's 9 minutes past nine. This is Love in London, Adrian Love on LBC until 1 a.m. And it's a bit like Nightline, a little bit not like Nightline. Depends how it kind of feels. Today we're going to be, as I say, talking about dirty movies, which should keep some people tuned in. And also right now having a quiet gloat about the LBC London to Paris race, which you most likely heard about earlier today. It's not for me to say exactly who won, except we did. So I've invited some of the team in, you see, to have a gloat and to kind of talk a little bit more about in fact, how you do go about getting from London to Paris in comfort and fun, for fun and profit. With me in the studio, Gloria Hilton and Nigel Schofield of Fitzwilliams, who were kind enough to risk lending me a Rolls Royce to go to Paris in, although I think it's fair to say they weren't quite risking it because they wouldn't let me drive it. Nigel, the idea of literally letting a stranger drive a motor car that costs that, because I know this is your business, you rent out these cars to people to drive themselves, no Pete Cap, no good evening, sir,
no.
Terrifies me.
No, we weren't terrified at all. I mean, basically, you came along with a Guinness and champagne at 6:30 in the morning, so we were all laughing.
But, I mean, who can hire a Rolls from you?
Anybody. As long as they're 21 years older. 21 years older, well, they haven't got a dreadful driving record of having driven cars off Beachy Head too many times. As long as they're reasonable people, and they take the cars for the pleasure which they give them, and they give us as well.
Because when you were approached by our producer and said, you know, how would you like to drive one of our lads to Paris? What was your immediate reaction?
I collapsed. They revived me with doses of alcoholic imbibement and...
For purely medicinal purposes, of course.
Total medicinal purposes. And we had an awful lot of fun on the day. Both from LBC, from Townsend Torreson, who provided us with that marvellous breakfast and the boat trip over, and the Hotel Scribe at the end of the day, who treated us like lords and royalty.
Yeah, and I think a splendid time was had by one and all. Gloria, you are one of the three partners who run Fitzwilliam.
That's right.
A lady who also... doesn't it ever worry you, somebody phones up and says, hey, may I want a Rolls Royce? Do you ever suddenly think, this is the one who is going to drive the Corniche straight off the bridge? Do you have to often turn people down?
No, we don't. You can't afford to be that selective about people. We have to make an instant judgment about them, and in fact most people that come to us I think recognise the value of the car and are sensible enough to treat it with the gentleness it deserves.
Although I must say I didn't think that Nigel and Flick, the other driver, were being too gentle when we went to Paris. I mean, obviously going to Paris, because of the rules of the race, we had to stick to speed limits, but heading back to Calais afterwards there was a little bit of toe-in going down that road. What kind of speeds were you hitting?
Probably about 108, 15, 120.
Yeah, that's why I had my eyes closed.
I thought you were praying.
No, not at all. I was just trying to think if I had my affairs in order.
The cars are built to be driven quickly and safely. Everything that's on those cars is built to withstand those kind of speeds for long periods of time, and without question at all, they are the finest cars in the world of a saloon variety.
Mm-hmm.
And they can take, as we did when we went to Paris, we took five of us in total comfort, absolutely relaxed, both there and back at fairly high speeds, getting over 200 km, and without any kind of effort or strain either on us or the car.
Easy car to drive?
Probably the easiest saloon car to drive of anything at all. Not quite so much fun as a sports car.
Mm-hmm.
The difference, of course, is at the other end you get out totally relaxed.
Yeah. How did the worthies of Rolls-Royce take the idea that we should use one of their beautiful motor cars for a race?
Have you heard from them since we won?
Yes, we have. We had a phone call from Rolls-Royce the following day when the report came out in The Guardian, and I think that they were as delighted as we were that it is a proof that a car which is built for pure luxury can be a fun car to drive and can also be quick and luxurious and comfortable.
Well, I think it's proven its point as a nippy motor car, definitely. The thing which I immediately realised having got in the car was the fact that normally if I get in the back of a car, I'm in trouble.
You're very tall.
Because of the legs. Mm. But as you say, it was completely comfortable and amazing, and I wish I could afford a Rolls-Royce. You've got 14, I think, now.
Yes,
or the company has 14 Rolls-Royces.
Yes, we do.
What kind of people actually hire Rolls from you? I mean, is it presumably your board of directors types?
No, not at all. The nicest thing is that the people who do rent the cars take them out for pure pleasure, and because these days there's no question at all, very expensive machines both to buy and maintain. We're fortunate in having a marvellous team of mechanics who maintain them for us, and we do all our own work ourselves on the cars.
The only time it comes in to rent a car is a chap who just wants the pleasure of driving the finest car.
The kind of chap who comes in to rent a car is a chap who just wants the pleasure of driving the finest saloon car in the world. And we're delighted to try and provide him with the best service we can.
It's as simple as that, just for the pure fun of it?
Yes, and obviously on a self-drive basis it's entirely different from having a chauffeur behind the wheel. You do get the pleasure of driving the car yourself. And now Rolls-Royce build their cars for owner drivers rather than just being purely chauffeur driven. And it does make the world a difference.
Now the new Rolls that we hear so much about, the Camille?
Kamal.
Have you won yet? You got to invest in one of those?
Well, can you lend me £30,000? We probably will do. Seriously, I don't think it's a practical proposition for a self-drive fleet. I doubt whether it's a practical proposition for even a chauffeur-driven fleet because of the enormous price of the cars. There's no question at all it's the finest Rolls-Royce ever built.
But who spends £30,000 on a motor?
Well, they've sold their production for the first 18 months, so there's
somebody.
Got to be a few people around with a couple of bob to spend. I wish I was one of them.
Yeah, you and me both. Got to take a little break, and then I'd like to kind of talk with Gloria a little about the actual race to Paris and some of the crazier things that happened.
Weekly Taverns present
Love in London.
Right on. 17 minutes past 9 o'clock, LBC on 261 metres. 1151 kilohertz, this is Adrian Love in London, till 1. With me in the studio, Gloria Hilton and Nigel Schofield, two of the victorious team in the great LBC London to Paris knees up. I mustn't say that, I got told off when we went to Paris for referring to it as a knees up in a Rolls Royce. I'm afraid I offended you, Nigel. The thought of somebody out of the blue coming along and saying, "Do you want to come to Paris, Gloria?" is a crazy idea, which actually paid off very nicely. I don't know how you felt. I know how I felt when I was waiting here for you to arrive with the car. It's the constant thought of kind of Rolls-Royce, that means it's going to be some guy in a peaked cap who's going to call me Sir all day, and it's going to be awful, you know.
I think we felt that way as well, as we discussed. We were very lucky, in fact, to get such a good five-man team when we eventually all did meet. The idea of a Rolls-Royce to Paris is quite exciting, because I think it's the greatest way to enter Paris. It's really the car for the job.
Yeah, people get out the way a lot too, don't they?
They did a bit, didn't they?
But I mean, you drove back from Dover. I think you were the only one by the time I got home who was still awake.
You and I, yes, that was it.
So obviously an easy car to drive for a lady. I'm not being chauvinistic, but
no,
any other large
easy
car would have been murderous.
Yes, it's a shame sometimes when people are a bit frightened of even inquiring about it, because there's a rumour that you need special training to drive a Rolls, and it's just not true. They're very easy cars to drive. The only thing you have to get adjusted to is the fact that they're large. But once you get the feel of it, it's easier than any other saloon car.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Nigel, I think it was, or Flick, park that car in a space that I'd think twice about putting my Volkswagen in.
I would as well, but they're much better at it than I am.
We left London, what, 20 past six, after various early breakfast glasses, and headed down to Dover. And I think the run to Dover summed up the whole confidence of the team, having meant that we stopped en route to phone a news story in right at the beginning of the race. But did you think we were going to win?
Yes, I did, actually, because of the ability of the car and the drivers that we'd got. And the fact that we did have two French-speaking members, which gave us an advantage for the couple of games we had to play, and I was fully confident that we would. And as soon as we hit town St. Torrenson and they gave us the advantage of pole position off the boat, you know, then I was confident right from that particular point.
I think the people on the ferry boats were very helpful.
They were marvellous.
Bended
they
over
really
backwards
were.
To be helpful. I think everybody got into the kind of the fun of the race and wanted to make sure that they were going to win.
I felt sorry for some of them. They weren't actually coming through to Paris with us.
Yeah, they all wanted to, though, didn't they? An awful lot of people wanted to boot down. I think the strangest thing was the reaction of people in France to the Rolls, because I think, Nigel, you said that there were very few Rolls Royces in France.
Yes, a very large status symbol in France is still a Jaguar, because there are something still, even these days, of only 200 or 250 cars registered on French roads. Probably, I suspect, around 15 to 20 Rolls Royces.
In the whole of France?
Yes.
That's amazing, because we saw one, I think, while we were
Paris. Yeah, yes. Gloria made a very good point, though, that people are worried about coming to a firm like us to hire and drive a Rolls-Royce themselves, that they are fearsome beasts, and they're not. As I'm sure you saw the other day, they're totally safe and easy to drive, and a great pleasure as well to drive.
Well, the way you were driving, I would say that they're easy to drive. Safety, yeah, I suppose they are safe, because to get away with some of the things you got away with on that run, they'd have to be safe.
We weren't pushing it. A Rolls-Royce is built to withstand enormous strains and stresses.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the top speed?
Of a Shadow, the one that we took to Paris, probably around about 118 to 120. But we were cruising up the Alpha route doing about 115 without any kind of discomfort or engine noise. And as you said in your interview on the way down, it's Stereo Joe Cocker, we didn't even have to turn it up.
No, it's amazing, it is amazing. How long have you had Fitzwilliam as a company? How long have you been involved in that?
Just about 2.5 years.
And you started with 14 Rolls, or you started...
No, we suspected that there would be people who would like to drive a Rolls Royce if they had the opportunity. And we decided that we would get a couple and see how things went as an ancillary to our servicing business. And it mushroomed from there.
Because it's an expensive hobby if it goes wrong, obviously.
Yes, the fortunate thing about it is that the cars are such good machines that they don't crash down in value or up in value. We obviously had a terrible problem in the petrol crisis. Gave us a lot of headaches for a few months, but no more than any other business. And if the worst comes to the worst, we have got the finest machines in the world. And we give a lot of pleasure, we think, well, we certainly hope we do anyway, to a lot of people who want to come in and rent the cars and drive them themselves and enjoy them.
I think it was Michael, the other driver on the run, who was telling a story of a company director whose office phoned up to hire a Rolls to go to Liverpool or Glasgow or something.
That's right, yes, Glasgow.
Oh, yes.
I don't know whether it was yourself or Michael who was telling the story.
Yes, Mike told you about a chap who rang up. We have some marvellous stories of the pleasure that we get ourselves and the buzz that we get from people renting the cars. As I think Gloria made a terrific point earlier about this nonsense that people believe that they have to have a special driving test to drive a Rolls, when in fact it's so much simpler than any other car. And the pleasure that we get from the faces of people when they take the cars out, and also the pleasure of the people that drive them is worth it as far as we're concerned, as well as, which of course, as far as we're concerned, it's a very good business.
Because this Glasgow run was literally, you just came down to pick up a car and drive back to Scotland.
Yes.
And just leave it there.
Yep.
I've never driven one and wanted to try.
That was the only reason he hired the Rolls?
Yes, that's right. Yes. One or two strange things. We quite often get girls who hire them for their boyfriends for birthday presents or engagement presents, but we don't get the girls coming on their own. I wish some of them would. Because really, they're great fun to drive.
You don't get many girls hiring, Rob?
No. No, I think they think in terms of it being a masculine machine. And it isn't. It's a very gentle car.
My wife is listening right now. I have a feeling that this is going to cost me the earth.
Not to hire from us, it won't, no.
Because... we worked it out, the Paris run. Worked out about, in if petrol you, and things, was about £9 a head.
Yes,
London to Paris.
If you rent a car from us for a week, it'll cost you about £250 by the time that we've acted as unpaid tax collectors and got the VAT in. It's about 250 quid as near as makes some difference, but you have unlimited mileage, you can go where you want to, and if four people, or a couple, two couples, want to go away for a holiday in England, which is still the best place to go anyway for a holiday, it's a very much undiscovered country, and you want to go up to the Lake District and poodle around Scotland and take the car to Ireland, it'll cost you 250 quid for the car and probably a couple of £100 in hotel bills, which is far cheaper than going on without wishing to be rude, a bad package deal, where you might be subject to getting to the airport and finding out your plane's been snatched back by the HP company.
Or they're still building the hotel.
I've experienced that myself, and it's no fun. Once is enough.
Yeah. Now, you take these cars all over Britain for people.
Yes.
You deliver and collect, obviously. Do they normally get overseas, as we did, or is that an exception?
No, we have quite a lot of cars that go overseas on the same principle that people have now discovered it is cheaper to rent a good car, go on holiday with it, and pay your hotel bill when you get there, and for the same price that it will cost you for a holiday, have something in absolute luxury and comfort, and make it, I personally believe that a holiday should be something special, rather than being something which you judge by your pocket. If you work the other way around, you can often find that a luxurious holiday will only cost you the same as a package tour. If you buy things yourself and if you shop around, you can do things a lot cheaper than can be supposed by reading holiday brochure magazines.
Now, I know the petrol consumption on the car is high.
Yes, it is.
I think we spent about 30 quid or something on petrol.
About £35, yes. But I have driven to Glasgow and back an average 15 miles to the gallon, which I know it doesn't sound a lot, it sounds horrifying.
Yes, to put it mildly, it sounds horrifying. It's 20 gallons of petrol or something.
Yes, it's about 400 miles to Glasgow. But you cruise along at fairly high speeds. The car, I suppose you have to buy luxury and comfort. It's far obviously cheaper than getting a package holiday tour or a return.
So you honestly believe that the idea of hiring a Rolls for a holiday, apart from just to take the lady to the film premiere or whatever, is a viable thing in this day and age?
Most definitely. More than anything, of course, if you plan to discover your own country first.
Because you don't have to worry about overseas insurance and things like this, which must be a bit expensive.
No, it's not. We've got a marvellous arrangement with our own insurance company, who have been terribly helpful to us since we started, because it's a very untried an untested field.
But I mean, what kind of insurance would have to pay? I mean, in fact, I don't have a current driving license, so I don't count. Well, but anybody in my age group could walk in with a driving license.
Yes.
And take that car, which could, I mean, the one we went to Paris in is what, £15,000-16,000 worth of motor?
Yes.
You must have to pay a fortune, though, in insurance cover, allowing for the fact that you allow anybody to drive the car. Isn't this almost a prohibitive thing for a starter?
I don't think it's prohibitive any more than it's a temptation for an idiot to try and take the car out. I think people do respect the fact that a Rolls-Royce is the best car in the world and enjoy driving it as such.
Do you ever find that people enjoy it so much you have trouble getting it back?
We have had one or two problems.
In what way? He said in wide-eyed innocence.
Hardly innocence. We've had to actually go and ask people if they'd be kind enough to let us have our car back.
Please, can I have my Rolls back?
That sort of thing, yes. It hasn't gone through the window first, the cricket bat in hand, but it gets on that way sometimes. They do become very jealous ladies, and sometimes don't want to return where they belong.
On the other hand, we had the police at Dover ring us up on a couple of occasions and say, "This is yours, can we let it out of the country," when it was in fact booked to go out.
Yeah, I can see the policeman thinking twice about a young guy driving up to the docks in a Rolls. I know the looks that we got, apart the fact that we came into Calais in about 2.25 hours, I think, from Paris. I think driving into the Calais docks with the Beatles blaring out on the 8-track threw a few people, because none of us were really old enough to have a Rolls-Royce. The image is still that of that the Rolls is for the kind of the successful businessman. Not that you are not a successful businessman, Nigel, but I think, do people get thrown by young people driving your cars?
Yes, it happens to the two sides of that coin. The the saddest thing is that when it's seen at a party or a discotheque or a pub somewhere, we have had three or four times that the car's been vandalised, which I think is an appalling way to behave towards anything at all.
This is what, just jealousy?
I'm not quite sure the psychological reason, but, I mean, you've done these shows far longer than we have. We've been at it 15 minutes and you've been at it about 23,500 years.
Yeah. I can understand that people would be maybe jealous. What do you do if you're approached by a pack of passing football thugs who decide to take you warmly by the throat? I mean, do you actually get trouble yourselves?
I have had a couple of experiences myself. Mm-hmm. We try and maintain the cars as best we can, and that necessitates every member of the staff driving them to make sure that they are absolutely roadworthy.
So everybody gets to go?
Oh yes, we do try the best that we can. Obviously, if it's not a chauffeur-driven service, it's a self-drive service.
I'm going to go and arrange a driving test immediately. I'm just called Gloria Hilton. Thank you for the ride, and thank you for coming in to Love in London.
The National Ballet of Canada is at the London Coliseum for a 10-day season from the 2nd to the 12th of April. They will present Don Juan, Ketentanz, Giselle, and Eric Bruhn's recently premiered production of Coppelia. Appearing as guest artists during the season will be Eric Bruhn and Rudolf Nureyev. The opening Royal Gala performance is sold out, but tickets are still available for the rest of the season. Call 01-836-3161. 01-836-3161.
LBC.
9:30, Dickie Harbiter with the headlines.
Four main stories in the headlines: Indochina, Vietnam, the protests outside the Russian embassy, the fishermen's dispute, and of course disruption on British Rail. Indochina, and it's been reported that Khi Non in South Vietnam has fallen to the Viet Cong. Meanwhile, heavy fighting is continuing in Cambodia, where Battam Bang is being besieged. There's a protest outside the Russian embassy in London following the arrival of Alexander Shalipin, a former KGB chief, who is here as the guest of the British DUC. Fishermen's dispute and trawlermen are to continue their blockade along the east coast in Scotland until the government agrees to discuss the matters. And finally, British Rail warned there'll be many cancellations on intercity services tomorrow because of a pay dispute.
Listen to LBC on the medium wave band, you may find our new taller transmitter gives you a better signal. LBC is now on 261 meters, 1151 kilohertz, as well as 417, 719 kilohertz. If we're a little hard to hear on 417, try the taller LBC. Come along to 261.
The National Ballet of Canada is at the London Coliseum for a 10-day season from the 2nd to the 12th of April. They will present Don Juan, Ketentanz, Giselle, and Eric Bruhn's recently premiered production of Coppelia. Appearing as guest artists during the season will be Eric Bruhn and Rudolf Nureyev. The opening royal...